All the church growth magazines are telling me not to talk to moms or dads on Mother's Day and Father's Day. Are you aware of this? Is anybody reading the church growth magazines? Obviously not. They've begun to say that it's too sensitive of a topic. It's too sensitive, and so it's better left undone. I don't care. I disagree. I think it is terrible not to honor our moms. Take a day and do it, and honor the concept. And the reason that I feel that way is, and this came up in Banded this morning, I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist at all, but there is an assault, I mean an intentional assault on the Christian worldview. Our country has never experienced it the way we are now. We are following Europe. We're just 40 years slower than them, where the Christian worldview is ridiculed and mocked, and in particular, around the idea of husbands and wives, mothers and fathers and families. I don't want to spend all of my time talking about the negative. What I do want to do, though, is I want to build up in all of our hearts an intentional biblical understanding of what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman, what it means to be a husband, what it means to be a wife, what it means to be a kid, what it means to be married. If we are taking our information from the world, you are imbibing poison. And it will ruin you, period. The book of Psalms says, "Blessed is the man who does not take his counsel from the ungodly." And currently, the message of the ungodly is totally different than the Bible. It always has been. It's just, for those of us that grew up in this part of America, we've just enjoyed a kind of sleepy, everybody kind of agrees that we should probably, maybe should, follow the Bible. But that's, if you haven't noticed, that is going away. And as it goes away, we can either be angry and frustrated, which are very legitimate responses, or we can say, this is a great opportunity to show the distinctives of what it means to be a Christian in a loving, yet I will not back off of the Word of God way. Loving, I want to insert right up here at the top, because it is very easy to speak out of our frustration as we remember, when I was growing up, this kind of stuff would have never come up in, you know, the transgender issues and the homosexual marriage issues and all the issues on what a woman really is. This, a woman is this versus what Scripture says, or a man should be this versus what Scripture says. So it's a great opportunity to lovingly demonstrate what Scripture is and recognize that we aren't going to be perfect at it either. We are going to fall short. But by saying falling short, that means I'm appealing to a standard. I'm appealing to a standard, and this is the standard. So the standard shows me when I do fall short, and it's like a mirror, and I can look in it and see what manner of man I am, just like when I looked in the mirror this morning and my beard was sticking out like this, and I asked my wife if that was an acceptable way to go to church on Mother's Day, and she said, no! And she helped me understand what kind of man I was, which was, in that moment, a messy bearded person. So the Word of God, the perfect law of liberty, shows us who we are, and it helps us correct. So a biblical worldview is important, Mom. And for all of you fathers and mothers in here this morning, this sermon is ubiquitous. It goes across all gender, but I'm zeroing in on mom, but this is important for all of us. What I want to talk about is not growing weary in doing good. And mom may need to hear that in this room more than any other person. So I want us to go to Galatians chapter 6. We're going to start reading with verse 7. Then we're going to pray. And then we're going to see what the Lord has to say to us. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this day. We mark this day off in our calendar as Mother's Day, and so it is a great opportunity to discuss and to talk about the role of mom. Lord, we ask that you would help us to have a biblical worldview on this and every other subject. God, ground us in Scripture, not in nostalgia. Ground us in your Word. Lead us by your Spirit. We are desperate. We recognize the world around us is shifting. Lord, we pray that our lives would be built on the foundation of your sayings and doing them. Lord, I pray you help me to communicate today in a way that helps everyone. But Lord, I'm asking especially for mom today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of my favorite passages of Scripture, it's Paul's first letter. He's got a lot of brevity in this letter. He's got a lot of just direct. He's ticked off. He's mad. We went through the book of Galatians a couple years ago, and in here he says that God isn't mocked, because God has established that whatever people sow, whatever they do habitually, they will receive back. Whatever you plant, you're going to get back. You can't plant tomatoes and go expect oranges to pop up on the bush. I planted tomatoes. Hoping that they grow. Whatever you sow, you are going to reap. And spiritually speaking, what you sow is what you reap. Spiritually speaking, if you sow to the flesh and the corrupt desires of the flesh, you will from that reap back death and destruction. Just crystal clear. You cannot live your life serving the flesh and expect to be blessed by God. That's not entirely complex, is it? It's pretty simple. But in the same way, by sowing spiritual things, you can expect spiritual return. Specifically, the text is saying, when you are living and walking by the Spirit, that's the whole context of this, you are proving to be a child of God, and you will reap eternal life out of that. And he follows that up in verse 9 immediately by saying, don't get tired of doing good stuff. Don't grow weary of doing good. I am glad this is in the Bible, because I don't know about you, but if you've been a Christian for 30 minutes or longer, well, probably longer than that, but if you've been a Christian for any period of time, every Christian asks this question: what is the point? Every Christian asks the question, why am I trying so hard? My prayers aren't being answered. I tried to raise my kids the right way. I tried to do the right things, and it's not working. I'm not the only one. There isn't a Christian in this room who has not said, Lord, what am I doing wrong? Do you see how we think? This is why we're so good at being religiously minded and works-oriented, and legalism is so popular. It's not because legalism is appealing, it's because it makes the most sense. Here's what makes sense. If I push this button, here comes a candy bar. I put in a quarter, 50 cents, whatever it is now, $300 is what it seems like anymore. When I was a kid, it was 50 cents. Now it's $12 for a little miniature Snickers bar. Okay, so I put in my $12 and I push the button. Here comes the Snickers bar. I like that exchange. It always works. And God just said that whatever you sow, you'll reap. So why does it seem like that the wicked are prosperous and the righteous are forsaken? If you read the book of Psalms, David asked that question about 5,000 times. Psalm 73 is one of my favorites, Asaph, and he says in that psalm, if I had spoken what I felt, I would have been unfaithful to the generation of your children because I was so upset that the wicked are prospering and I'm not. The reason that Paul says don't grow weary in doing good is because it's the most natural thing in the world to be weary as you serve God. It's natural to feel like this isn't working. It tells us that we absolutely expect to be rewarded for good behavior. It tells us we absolutely expect to earn something from the Lord, doesn't it? I don't know if you've ever thought of it that way, but that is what it means. That's how we are hardwired. And Scripture tells us, and this isn't the only place it tells us, and you don't have to turn there. 2 Thessalonians 3:13 says, as for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. So he told the church at Thessalonica the same exact thing. He told the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Why does he have to say it? Because a lot of times, mom in particular, it feels like what you're doing is meaningless. Nobody appreciates it. Nobody sees it. Nobody recognizes it. And my kids are still unruly. How many times have I spanked them? How many times have I taken away the phone? How many times have I grounded? How many times have I said no? They're not listening. My husband just wants to come home and sleep or watch TV or eat or other things without any regard for what I'm doing. There is a danger for every Christian, and I would say moms in particular, of feeling that your good works are meaningless. And that is why I think Scripture says, don't grow weary. And what does it say next? For in due season, everybody underlined the word due season, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. There's a couple things in here to see. Ecclesiastes, which is not necessarily the most encouraging book of the Bible, however, it is a very helpful book to realize the reality of the way we feel. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it says, to everything there is a season. Now, here is the way God works. This is the simplest way for me to explain the sovereignty of God. He's God and we aren't. That is the simplest way for me to say it. And the way that that works out is that you could go through a season of difficulty that lasts 3 months. And everybody around you seems to be blessed and prospering. Everybody around you seems happy and at ease. You could see a brother or sister in Christ go through a season that lasts 3 years or 3 weeks or 30 years. We don't determine the seasons. I'd like to quote another great early 90s Christian rap artist, Dirt, who said, "Man's pen writes the almanac, but God writes the weather." That's great. You can write down everything you want about the way you think it's going to be, but God is the one who causes it to rain when He causes it to rain. Just reading the book of Job, He's got hail and He's got snow in storehouses. I don't know what we've done wrong in this valley that we live in, that He doesn't give us more snow. We're under His judgment. But the truth is, we don't determine the season, and this is the dangerous part for all of us, is that while we're in a season of difficulty, we're being encouraged not to lose heart, because if you won't quit, Mom, doing those good things as to the best of your ability, trusting in the Lord, you will see a harvest eventually. I don't know when. That's the reason why you have to be encouraged not to give up. Let me give you some examples of what I would consider for Mom in particular today of what doing the right things looks like. Number one would be, as a mom, raising your children for the Lord. Raising your children, teaching them Scripture. There are a lot of parents that give up, especially when the kid turns 11 or 12, and they just start hoping that they don't have to bail them out of prison. They just start hoping that they make it through school. They just start hoping that they're not pregnant outside of wedlock. They just start hoping that they stay off of drugs, and they don't want to upset the apple cart in any way. And rather than continuing to give our children instruction, we start backing off. I want to encourage you to never back off. Even when they're out of the house, you can still encourage your children with Scripture and with prayer. "Hey, son, I'm praying for you." A text. I want to encourage you, all of you with young parents, and there's a lot, or young children, there's a lot of you in here this morning. Establish those habits with your kids. This is an example of not growing weary and doing good. In this way, establish habits of Scripture in the home. There's a million ways you can do it. I'll give you a good example. I was thinking of how my parents did this with us when we were growing up. You've heard me say that my dad would turn brushing your teeth into a scriptural lesson, right? You guys have heard me share that. And mowing the grass and taking out the trash, and all these chores got turned into scriptural lessons. And then dad'd be washing the dishes, and he'd just turn around out of the blue. And it's clearly, I'm older, I can see what was going on now. He was thinking about it. And so we come walking in the room, and he'd say, "You know why I'm washing these dishes?" And he always sounded like he was angry, but he wasn't angry. Everybody was like, "Okay, Dad's about to tell us something important. I'm washing these dishes because your mother needs help." And that's what, that it sounded just like that. You're like, "Okay, Dad, I mean, is Mom okay?" "Yes, she's okay." And this is the way it was. "But you better not forget this, because when you get married, if you don't wash the dishes and help her out," and he would just be like, "Okay, Dad, okay, I promise I'll wash dishes when I get married." But he was teaching me. My mom also did this. I remember losing the sixth grade social studies fair, unjustly and unfairly. I still recall I did a project on satellites, which were very popular. Remember the big satellite dishes that were incredibly popular in the early, mid-80s? Well, those of you that are old enough to know what I'm talking about. So I did a project on satellites, and my dad probably overhelped, and so I had a complete working model that collected information from Mars. It was really cool looking. But I did the research, I did the report, and I had really neat handwriting. We put it in a plastic binder, and in the 80s, I'm going to tell you right now, that was like super good. And my project stood out. It was like glowing. It was so good. And this kid beat me, who did his project, I still remember, on artesian wells, and his project was garbage, and his handwriting was terrible. This is the sixth grader in me sharing this story. And I got second place, and he got first, and he got all the accolades, and he didn't deserve them at all. And so I grump my way home. And we did this before we went to bed. This was the habit that was established. We'd read the Bible together. And my mom is the one who was reading. And she found the verse, and it was Psalm 73, about the wicked and the righteous. Now, I'm not saying the kid that did the artesian well, he was wicked, but... And as soon as she got done, I looked at her and I said, "Did you read that because of me?" And she said, "Yeah." Yeah. The attitude of your heart is wrong. My mother corrected me with scripture in a very real moment to me. And I was like, "I'm looking for you to tell me how great I am." And my mom instead said, "Yes, your project was really good and you worked really hard. But guess what? We don't always get what we think we should get." Honest to goodness, how valuable is that lesson right now? You don't always get even what you deserve. In a spiritual sense, it's really good that we don't get what we deserve, because we all deserve hell. God's grace gives us what we don't deserve. And these are the kind of lessons, mom, don't grow weary in sharing with your children, because in due season you will reap a harvest if you do not lose heart. You cannot be addicted to immediate results. God has always been slow as molasses, and He always will be. He answers in perfect timing. And when He does answer, the Bible says it sounds like suddenly. Acts chapter 2 said, "Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, and the Holy Spirit comes rushing in." But that suddenly in Acts chapter 2 was prophesied 800 years prior in Joel chapter 2. So there was 800 years of Israel waiting for this Holy Spirit moment. 800 years! Don't grow weary. You have to, and there's a reason why you can't grow weary. Because the source of your strength, of knowing that what you're doing for your children is long-lasting, is knowing that God is faithful. Not that you, mom, are perfect. And I believe that what our world does, even our Christian world, even some of the Christian ministries for women that are meant to be good, almost accidentally, I don't know how we wind up doing this, but we almost get a perfectionist mindset that here's all the right, perfect things to be doing. I would say biblically that if you just simply hold on to Scripture and say, "I know that this is true, and I'm going to give it to my family in small pieces and in bigger, big conversations with older children, tiny little consistent conversations with younger children, I know that God will honor it. I know that God will honor it." That's you saying, "I believe the Bible." Not, "I have to go get a theological degree of some sort in order to properly communicate the hypostatic union of Christ at Easter or at Christmas." No. Tell the story of Jesus in the manger. Use opportunities when things go wrong at school or when they're disobedient at home. Use the Word of God in your discipline and in your love and in, hey, we're going to church not because we have to, but because fellowship with other believers is essential. Teaching your children. I'm just encouraging you, Mom, not to grow weary in doing it. The same thing applies to loving your husband. The same thing applies to serving others. The same thing applies to not strangling your coworkers because they're annoying. The same thing applies to all of our lives, fulfilling your ministry. All of it. This is a worldview war. Not to listen to the voices that say, this is what you're supposed to look like. This is what a successful woman looks like. If you follow that, I assure you, you will never be satisfied in your soul. The only soul satisfaction you are ever going to get, this is for all of us, is seeking the glory of God. That's the only, and I'm just directly robbing John Piper when I say this, okay? But it is the most sense-making thing I may have ever heard from a preacher. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. When our hearts are fulfilled in Him, it doesn't matter what size of dress you're wearing. It doesn't matter how many wrinkles you've accumulated. This is part of the sermon. I don't make eye contact, so nobody thinks I'm talking about them. You guys should try preaching sometime on stuff like this. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what your fitness level is. It doesn't matter any of that. None of it. What matters is glorifying God with your life. That's what matters. And your soul satisfaction and rest is only going to come from Him. But there has always been a pressure on women, always, to look a certain way and to function a certain way. And you guys are operating, I live in a house filled with women. I've got 4 daughters. And the pressure is so different on girls than on guys. Guys have their own pressures. But the pressure, if you can just, mom, wife, grandma, if you can just shove that out the door and recognize it for what it is, a poisonous worldview that will have you serving a different master, the master of image, the master of what other people think of me. The Scripture, it doesn't make sense what I'm saying, but it's true, will lead you to glorifying God and being fulfilled in Christ. That is what we have to hang on to. Don't grow weary in that. So I've told you to do something that you already knew probably in one sense you should do. Does anybody want to hear how? There's a practical element to this. What is it that you do? Because I have watched my wife in awe as she's juggling 1,000 things while she's sick, taking care of kids, and saying things like, it's just got to be done. It just has to get done because the kids have to have this and we have to do this. Steve, it's just got to be done. And I remember you're like, I just want to take a nap. I'm amazed at what God does give moms. There's just all this extra grace that He gives to be a mom. I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. Because I want to give you how. I mean, you already, a lot of what I've said, I think, makes sense because it's a pretty simple truth. It's become a very important truth in 2019, just to have a biblical worldview of yourself, of being a Christian woman, of not being trampled under the expectations that the world and even the Christian world can sometimes put on you. But Isaiah 40, verse 27, I want you to read this as a weary person. Because this section of scriptures is one of my favorites. I've seen a lot of paintings of eagles in sunsets with this scripture on it, okay? But this is one of my favorite verses. The Lord really, 20 years ago, used this set of scriptures to really encourage and help me not lose my mind. Read it as a weary person. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right hand is disregarded by my God? Just want to point out that this feeling is universal and has been from the people of God since the beginning of time. This feeling that God is not paying attention, He's not listening, He's not answering, I'm doing the right things, I'm saying the right prayers, nothing is changing, and I am tired. That is a universal feeling for all time. So you're in good company. Listen to God's response. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, to the weak. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Mom and everybody else, if you're tired, if you're weary, this is what you need to open your Bible to and look at it, in particular the words, have you not known? Have you not heard? The answer is, of course they knew, and of course they have heard. They've been recipients of the law and the Word of God and the Scriptures. They've been visited by prophets, and they know that God is the Creator and God is the Restorer and God is all of these things. The problem is that they get so focused, like us, we all do this, on what we can't see happening, that we assume that God, for some reason, is either unloving and unkind, or we're doing something wrong, and we can't push the button and get the candy bar like we thought. I said the prayer, but no candy bar. I keep saying the prayer, and I'm not getting the reaction that I'm looking for. The answer is, you do know. We do know. This is actually really simple. Go back to what you know and wait on the Lord. It's so simple that you're tempted to be disappointed at the answer. It is so simple that God is saying, revisit what you know. He gives power to the faint. I know you don't feel that. I hear that in these verses. I know you don't feel that, but this is what the truth is. He gives power to the faint. To those who have no might, He increases their strength. Even young people get tired. That's what He's saying. And exhausted. But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. The word wait means to hope in, to long for, to look to, which means, Mom, all of us, but mom, here's how you renew your strength. You have moments with God where you look to Him and you long for Him and you cry out to Him. And you do these moments as often as possible. And in particular, when you're weary. I've used this illustration before, but we did a science project, a different one. I won this one. You put a flower, and it's turned this way. And if I put that flower right here and open that blind, what happens by the end of the week? The flower goes to the sun. That is what this verse is telling your heart to do. To wait on the Lord is to fixate your heart, mind, prayers, and expectation on Him. I already know the question. I thought that's what I was already doing. Right? I thought that's what I was doing. There is a difference between a heart set in longing on the Lord and somebody that's pushing the button on the vending machine of heaven hoping for the candy bar. Well, pushing the button, don't you see? I'm saying prayers. I'm teaching my kids scripture. I'm trying to love my husband. He's an idiot. There's no candy bar. What does that say that you're actually doing? You're actually doing verse 27. My way is hidden from the Lord. He doesn't hear. The heart that turns towards God says, doesn't have to say it perfectly, but it says, Lord, I'm frustrated, but I know You and You alone are where my strength is renewed, my hope is restored, and I am setting my heart on You. God, help me get through this day. Here's the practical thing. Wake up in the morning. If you've got little kids yelling, screaming, while you're on your way to the yelling and screaming kid, Lord, help me. Lord, help me today. God, get me where I need to be. God, give me an opportunity to read the Bible. Get a scripture out. If you need to write them and grab them out of a jar and have your kids do it with you and read a verse for the day, do something and set your heart like that flower turning to the source of light. Set it on the Lord and waiting. And the Bible says He will renew your strength. I want to ask a very honest question. How many of you have experienced verse 31 in their life where you had a rough season, you turned your heart to the Lord and He began to renew and strengthen? I'm going to raise my hand and say He has absolutely done that in my life. And there's a lot of heads nodding. You sometimes have to remind yourself of where the Lord has come through. And sometimes it's helpful, like what Alicia did this morning, to hear the testimonies of other moms. Moms, you need each other. We all need each other. Do you know the Bible actually says in Titus to, in essence, find a mentor mom? It tells and instructs the older women to teach the younger women to be submissive to their husbands, to raise their children. It says, you older women that have walked with the Lord and done it, why don't you turn around to find some of these younger moms, and I'm actually asking you to do this, and go up to them and encourage them and say, I see you with your kid. I see it. I'm praying for you. Do you know how encouraging that is? I see you, single mom. I know everything hasn't worked out the way you thought that it would. Hang in there. God is not deaf. He is good. He will renew your strength. His arm is not shortened. He who made the ear, will He not hear? Yes, He will. We need to also understand that a part of weariness is the sense that nobody really recognizes. And we can be an instrument of God and His healing and His strength. When you come up and you just say, hey, I see you. I'm praying for you. What can I pray for? Dads, let your wife have a break. Let her come to Woven. Let her find some friends. Get on the phone with one of her friends that you know and say, hey, can you take my wife to Starbucks and just talk about whatever you want? We need to support one another because the temptation to weariness and frustration is great. The best thing I can tell you to do is what I was telling us to do last week. Walk with God. Walk with God. And I know that's hard with screaming kids and homework. Sometimes the kids come home, like, who's got homework? I've got a project and a 12-page paper due tomorrow. So do I. So do I. So do I. It's like, well, I hope you kids can figure it out, because I'm not going to be helping. I know life, and you turn around, and it's like, where'd the last 12 weeks go? Where'd the last 12 months go? How in the world? It was just Christmas. It's Christmas again. How does, if we're not intentional about putting our trust and our hope in the Lord, and establish, not giving up and doing the right things with our children, they'll be gone. And even then, God has grace. Even then, He has mercy. Even then. So I want to encourage you to find your rest by looking to Jesus, looking to the author and finisher of our faith. There's one more practical thing that I want to share with you. As we dismiss today, we're going to be giving all of the moms a little gift. It's not a huge gift. It's just nice Bath and Body Works stuff. And on the back is an invitation. This is something that's in your bulletin, but I did not announce on purpose. The invitation is this Saturday, May the 18th, 5 to 8 p.m., we would love for you moms to just come and just hang out here and get a chance to relax, get a chance to rest. We're not doing any child care here. We're asking the dads, am I right, babe? We're asking the dads to step up, to help out, to make arrangements. The little card says, if you're busy raising a precious child, if you're carrying one inside, if you're empty nest, so this doesn't mean, this is for all of you that have children, or you find yourself exhausted from chasing around your little ones, that's what this night's for. You're going to laugh, you're going to cry, you're going to eat food that is still hot, which may be weird. You're going to get to talk without interruption. You're going to go to the bathroom all by yourself. You know that you have children when in the middle of the mall you say, hey, I got to go to the potty, and it's just you and your wife. And people are looking at you like, oh, it's interesting. You're going to paint nails. It's just going to be a fun pamper time for mom. So we want to encourage you to come and be a part of that. We're not trying to pander. We're not trying to do something cool to make you think that the church is just a neat place. We need each other. We genuinely need each other. We'd love for you to come and be a part of that. Let's all stand up. I thank God for a godly mother. I am so happy to be able to say that, and I realize that's not the case for all of us, but for every mom in here that's raising their child for the Lord, you are doing more than you could possibly know. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that you bring encouragement to all of us. And a lot of us in here, whether we're mothers or not, are discouraged and we're frustrated. We feel like, Lord, you're not answering quickly enough. Lord, I pray that today we'd be encouraged. You are never weary. You do not grow faint. Your arm is not short. And I pray, Lord, that we would have renewed faith towards you as we look to what we know, that our heart turns to you in trust that you're watching over us, that we will reap a harvest in due season if we do not give up. Lord, I pray you would strengthen and encourage every mother, that you would give them hope for the future, that you are at work even though we don't always see it. God, remind us of all the other harvests that you've brought into our life. Remind us of your goodness, your kindness, and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for that. We pray that today would be a refreshing, good day for everyone. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You all are officially dismissed. Moms, if you would come up and grab one of these, it is for you. We love each and every one of you. Have a wonderful day.